Welcome, everybody, to a Stackgate podcast. I am Scott Williams, your host, and with me, as always, I have Mr. Stephen Karashinsky, the guy that knows more about UC than probably anyone I know. Steve, how you doing today?
Doing well, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. So we were talking offline about this, and this is kind of an interesting topic, I guess, just when it comes to unified communications in general, is that there seems to be a evolution, a very quick evolution over the last 3 to 4 months. No one knows why. You know, it's just maybe it's for all the things in the news that have been happening that just take up the entirety of 24-hour news stations, which is, of course, how The Bachelor is going to turn out this season. No, I'm just kidding. So so we all know this. Yes, a global pandemic took over our world last quarter, and unified communications went from a nice to have to mission critical in a matter of hours. So I guess, like, you know, I want to look at this from your perspective, because you're the boots on the ground side of things. Like, what are you seeing as far as, like, that evolution? Like, walk me through day one. Like, you know, the phone starts to ring off the hook. We saw the news, the shutdown's happening. There was very much a jump from nice to have to mission critical.
Yeah, absolutely. I think especially early days, I mean, this was really, really scary for everybody. No one really knew what to expect. Was this going to be 2 weeks? Was this going to be 2 years? Fortunately, you know, people had tools and access to these tools available, never really tested out for the entire organization, tested out to such a degree with such a high degree of utilization. But the stuff was there. And then we saw just real scare, kind of panic to get up and running and make sure that that business could continue. And so if you think of that Maslow hierarchy of needs a little bit, people were scrambling for food and shelter. And getting these tools up and running, and not just on the voice side, but on a data side as well, making mm-hmm. sure that everybody can connect from home to whatever core application they need to do their jobs. Email, of course, was just kind of, let's get that up and running, and then we'll figure out the rest from there. And this stuff happened in, you know, on a weekend. Well, I think here at our end, we had a meeting with the team as we were going to make a call. It was March 13th. It was a Friday. Whether that's coincidence or not, I'll leave that up to you.
I remember that day very well. Working side by side. Yes.
Yeah. We had a meeting, and we said, listen, we're not sure what's going to happen, but we're going to make a call. And then it was like that evening, Saturday, the news really started to pour out, and we made a call on Sunday that the office is closed, and so did everybody else. So. Yeah. So that's kind of how it all got started. But it was an eerie time, because no one's ever had to do anything like this before.
Well, and it's weird, right? Because it's like, look, I mean, us being in the UC business, I mean, it was like, not to rub it in for all those that are listening, right? It's like, for us, yeah, it was like, yeah, okay, so we move home. Okay, like, it wasn't so tough. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of that, you know, eating your own kind of dog food, so to speak, and that, yeah, we can work anywhere, anytime, connect, that's fine. But I know, like, you know, we were also seeing, like, my God, like, we even, like, you know, one of the case studies that we did early on, just kind of showing the need. I mean, what was it? Like, there was a company in the U.S., like, we provisioned 40,000 people, like, users in the course of, like, 48 hours or something. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah,
people were like scrambling.
I think there's two kind of interesting points there. One, of course, you know, there's companies, and it's not fair to use us as an example because this is what we do. So I hope we eat our own dog food, and we do. You know, the challenge for us was, oh my God, I left my headset at the office, so I have to use, you know, my AirPods or different set of headphones, and maybe my voice won't be as good. So you know, minor issues. So
that's what we refer to as the first world problems category. Is that
I suppose.
One pillow is not tall enough, but two pillows is too tall.
Exactly. But for a lot of businesses, it's the idea of scale. So, you know, a lot of organizations have been using this stuff for a long time, but it's been you know, very select groups, people that really needed it, people that screamed and asked and demanded it. IT always had tools because, you know, they're kind of running 24/7. But to do this at scale in such a short period of time, that was the thing that got everybody freaked out. Because come Monday, when the doors are open, or customers are going to start calling in, or suppliers are going to start calling in, the phone's got to ring.
Yeah.
Because if we're afraid, if you know, we were all concerned about doing business before, and you know, things are super, super competitive out there these days. There's multiple options for almost everything out there. Everybody's really been on their toes. But now, with uncertainty looming and a ton of risk as far as, you know, where's the next dollar coming from a business, having someone answer that phone, letting the customers know that, yes, we're open, we're ready to go and help and support you, put an even heightened state for everybody to make sure that this happened without a hitch.
The interesting thing that now we seem to be seeing as well is that, and this is like, you know, like those odd byproducts of just whatever you want to call it, right? Like the you know, in this particular case, like, you know, yes, there's that en masse fear, panic, you know, the necessity breeds ingenuity scenarios in which everybody is suddenly like scrambling to get all their UC truly set up and rolling. But the byproduct of this that we seem to be seeing now too is like, you know, there's always been a lot of talk, a lot of marketing hype, a lot of, you know, positioning in and around this whole concept of digital transformation and what people think digital transformation is versus what it really is. And I think, you know, the message up until now for years now, and we've all seen it, right, is that the future is now, and, you know, start your digital transformation initiative now, and you know, again, the future is now, and it's, and everyone kind of went, yeah, the future is 6 to 12 to 24 to 48 months out, leave me alone, I'm still just, you know, working on my business as it is right now, I don't need this, or I'm considering it, it sounds cool, it sounds lofty, it sounds, and then, again, we go back to Friday the 13th, right? And suddenly the future wasn't just now, it was now, like right now. And I think like UC was one of those things where digital transformation was suddenly became introduced in a manner of clarity that had never before been kind of witnessed. You know, like when you talk about everything from not just like, hey, we're connecting people inside the office. Now we're connecting people, you know, customers and partners and all those things, full on call centers now from a digital transformation perspective can be uprooted from a building full of small cubicles of hundreds and hundreds of people to suddenly migrated to people's homes in the matter of minutes, days, weeks, sometimes maybe months, you know, depending on their infrastructure. But like, how do you see that kind of playing out now? I mean, it's as we know that digital transformation has suddenly become exceptionally important in how people are now interacting, even during, I guess, are we considered, for everyone that's listening, in the date that we're, you know, kind of mid-July 2020 at this point, I guess we're considered phase two of the reintegration scenario. So it's like, you know, like now what?
So I, you know, there's a lot there with what you just said. And I would say very candidly, even for me, my appreciation and understanding, like at the core of what digital transformation means, is a lot different today than it was March 12th.
Yes.
And there's a couple of reasons. You know, I'll save the UC stuff for last, but just generally speaking, on a couple of personal levels, let's just say for our business, you know, something that we took for granted before, like getting paid. Digital transformation plays a huge, huge role in that. So being in a pandemic, having no access to the office, our office happens to be connected to a designer shopping mall where we get our mail is delivered in the mall area. The mall is shut down. There is no mail being delivered there. So we have checks coming from our customers. We have no way of getting them. a problem, right? Now, a pretty fair percentage of our payments are done electronically, but now this is a wake-up call of, oh my God, like, we never want to be in that situation ever, ever again. That's digital transformation of its purest form. Another great example is just grocery shopping, right? Took for granted that you can go to the grocery store anytime you want, get whatever you need with zero hassle. It was easy. All of a sudden, getting groceries became very, very complicated, difficult, and extremely stressful for most people.
Not to mention the lack of toilet paper.
Not to mention the lack of toilet paper. So what do you do? You go online.
Yep.
Except not everybody's system was ready from a digital perspective to handle the tremendous spike in demand of their online systems. So systems crashed. Wait times were tremendous. You'd sit on for a half an hour, then get kicked off. Your shopping cart wouldn't be right. The channel might not be able to deliver you the right items. Again, these are all pieces of digital transformation that everybody has experienced on a personal level, but now can really, really appreciate it. So that's where I say my understanding is fundamentally, or my appreciation has fundamentally changed.
Well, one of the
perspective.
So, to a point to that though too, like just like you mentioned, like the retail scenario, right? And it's like I'll use UC in the retail scenario as far as digital transformation, because this is an interesting one, is that how many stores, boutiques suddenly adopted out of nowhere what we're doing right now, which is still, I mean, I am now right now still in a different city than you, and we're recording a podcast. Implemented things like video chat, started even looking at things like what you just said, right? It's like now it's like even the smaller stores are suddenly, wow, I need to be able to take payments online. I need to be able to keep track of customer data. I need to, you know, engage with technology in a way that I never have before, because suddenly, you know, what I thought might be cool in the future became a reality in less than 48 hours and I had to embrace it, right? Like, that's a very, very odd place to be in when you see the evolutionary tipping point of embracing something as lofty as, you know, the concept of digital transformation.
There's no question. And what I think is this concept of digital transformation in the UC space, it went fully mainstream. You know, when I'm having a Zoom call with my parents,
right?
That means it's mainstream.
Let's not forget the catchphrase of 2020. You're on mute.
Exactly. You know, from my 5-year-old to my parents and everybody in between, we are all communicating with these technologies now and escalating from a text to a video call, to sharing stuff on screens. I mean, this is now mainstream. And what I find really interesting that's happened is before COVID hit, you know, you didn't want to see or talk to anybody that you didn't have to, because all day you were used to seeing people in meetings and this and that. And so, you know, when you had some time, you texted or you chatted or you did whatever you could. Now, because we don't have any of that personal interaction, as humans, we're craving it. And so every meeting or call that I have with anybody in our organization or a customer or one of our partners, it's all video calls. Like Scott, even me and you, before this, you know, I would pick up, you know, my mobile phone and call you or text you. But now every time we chat, which maybe is way too much, by the way, we're seeing each other and we're trying to create that situation where we're really working together as if we're in the same room, regardless of where we are physically or whatever device that we're using. And that's the beauty of it. This technology, the mission critical of it is that it's kept everybody connected. It's kept everybody together. And it's become a little bit of that lifeblood, that thing that's keeping the culture going, that's getting people going. You know, it's one thing when you're texting work just to get it done. But now to see the person's face across from you, to get a smile going, to catch up a little bit.
Yeah.
It means everything for everybody these days. And so I think this stuff is certainly here to stay. And the real trend I see now, we're July 8th, and this is really of the last 3-4 weeks, is now that customers are kind of like shaking off kind of what's gone on. Not that everybody's like in the green. There's still a lot of uncertainty out there. Don't misunderstand. But now people are starting to think about what the second half of this year looks like. And how can we prepare? And who do we need to be? And who do we want to be? And what does that mean from the tool sets that we have to do the best job possible for our customers, offer them the best customer experience, and be a great business? And customers are really looking to ramp that up and be ready for this second half of the year to handle whatever comes their way.
And that's a super interesting point, right? Because it's the, again, like, look, man, you and I are both in agreement on this. We've talked about this offline many times, right? It's the, let's try to look at this as a positive, not just a negative, you know, for all the horrible stuff that's happened over the last 3 or 4 months. And it's, you know, let's try to look at least the glass is half full. And the point you made is that, you know, with folks now looking at this as a, like companies looking at it as, how do I make my customer experience better? How do I, you know, how do I embrace this even more now that we've been, you know, for lack of a better term, forced into using this in a lot of ways? Like it was a forced adoption and expansion of systems that either were potentially in place or suddenly it's just, hey, I need to move to a brand new UC platform right away just to keep the lights on. I guess at this point, like, as you said, I mean, you know, here we are, like, you know, July 8th, we're far past the March 13th scenario. We're careening through, I guess, phase two and close to phase three reintegration. If we look at this, I guess, like, you know, the after action review side of things, right? Like we've had, you know, as we said at the beginning, right? Like that week after the 13th was, those couple weeks were crazy. Like that was some of the craziest stuff I've ever seen as far as work-wise. It was, I felt as though it's like, you know, it's the, we're burning the bridges, we're crossing it kind of feeling, I think, for just a lot of people. Now that, you know, it's time to like, okay, we're starting to, like, I mean, hey, you're sitting in the office today. That's fantastic. You know, it's nice to see that people are starting to reintegrate and things are starting to open back up. And, but now what, right? Like, I mean, it's time to, I don't know, is it like, it's take stock, it's plan for the future, as you said. I mean, what are the next steps? What, where do we go from here?
So I think a lot of taking stock has been done. I mean, it's been a pretty intense 4 months for everybody, both personally and professionally.
Yeah.
I think now people, especially and the summertime helps and the weather helps, right? Because it's that vacation type of a buzz, that summertime kind of a buzz, which is everybody really needs. And I think everyone is really embracing. I think people are really thinking about what's next.
Yeah.
Of course, with caution, because nobody has any real visibility. We don't need to look out 12, 18 months. Just to feel good about what's going to go on in the next few months is enough.
Yeah.
And when, you know, you bring up customer experience from a bit on the business side, I think more than ever, because things are so difficult, it is extremely competitive out there and people are obviously concerned. Those that are offering that superior customer experience and making it easy for the customers and really catering to them in the best way are the ones that are going to win at the end of the day, because customers have tons of choice and their dollars are certainly going to be used more carefully and there's going to be much more scrutiny than ever. Customers not going to spend money where they don't feel really great about, you know, what they're going to be purchasing, and whether we're talking B2B, B2C, whatever it may be. And so I think that customer experience wins, and communication, whether it's video, voice, text, chat, whatever it may be, and all elements will come into play these days, you know, with purchases, are going to be key to ensuring that, you know, your customer has a great experience. So these UC tools that we were talking about, we're going to see them more and more integrated in all sorts of verticals across business. I mean, just look at the strides that telemedicine has made over the last 4 months. Something that was kind of interesting before, now people depend on, and it's phenomenal, right?
Yeah.
A patient can get great service. Doctors can serve more patients. It's a win-win for everybody. Better experience, no lines, no waiting, really catered, almost it's almost like a white glove type of a service. All because, I mean, there's a lot of elements, but UC is a critical component of that, that brings these parties together to have a rich, engaging, deep and meaningful session together. And at the end of the day, that's really what it's all about.
So going into the second half of this year, is this now the time to really start, you know, like, I mean, one, I mean, you know, that, you know, I'll kind of use the segue of, you know, talking about telehealth and stuff, but it's like, you know, from your infrastructure itself, like, this is now the time for that health check kind of scenario. You know what I mean? Like, making sure that your system is truly running the way it should be. Is it time for digital transformation planning? Is it, that's where it's like, how do we now take this to the next level, knowing that, you know, over the last 5 months, like I said, like, you know, habits are built really easily. And you mentioned, like, you know, customers have a lot of choice. People have really gravitated to companies that are already making those strides towards making a fantastic customer experience. How do they make that even better now? Like, what's the next step there that they have to plan for and implement and work through?
So I think you're bang on, Scott. I think before we were in battle conditions and people didn't have the luxury of the time to sit back, analyze, figure out, you know, what they had, was it good, what do they want to do? But now we're coming out of that situation. And so to really see, hey, is the infrastructure I have the right one to support my objectives moving forward? What are the gaps? What are the holds? What are the gotchas that I don't know that are around the corner that I can prevent today? That I need to know about. So things like health checks, understanding what that digital transformation strategy is, what is the customer experience aspect of that is so critical to the success of my business moving forward that I want to adjust. What type of options are there out there for me? How much more flexible can my infrastructure be as I want to go out and test new ideas, bring a little innovation and creativity to the market with trying different business models, new products, new services? How am I going to go out there and make that happen? Do I have the tools that are going to support me? All of those elements are what we're seeing our customers start to engage us in those conversations, because they have plans for how they want to go back into the market and attack. And they want to be sure that when they're going to do it, their UC infrastructure tied into, of course, their digital transformation strategy and just their overall business strategy, they're all completely aligned.
Well, of course, then it's like, you know, then we get into those weird topics too that, well, not weird, I guess, but it's weird for some, just depending on the size of the company, right? I mean, infrastructure is always an interesting subject to tackle, because it's like, now we start looking at, you know, with digital transformation has always been, I think, synonymous with the endless possibilities of the cloud. And where do companies go now? Like, you know, it's like, look, we know a lot of companies that have on-prem solutions. Then we've got, you know, there's some hybrid stuff at times. There's, you know, like, is it time to start migrating to the cloud? Is it time to, you know, kind of think of these in different ways and different models? Because as everything is now progressed so quickly and so much in the last 4 to 5 months, as far as how it relates to customer expectation, everything, where do you see that going over the next year, 2 years? Like, I mean, is this truly going to be like a massive shift to the cloud, do you think?
So I think it's already starting to happen. It's been going on for the last couple of years, certainly on the SMB side of the business. But now on the mid-market and large enterprise side, it's really, really picking up. And I think one of the biggest reasons that for this change is the cloud ultimately provides choice and flexibility. And that is something that has always been lacking, or I guess the challenge of the on-prem world. The on-prem world's got amazing technology, very robust, very, very reliable, very deep in reach and rich in terms of what it can do. But because it's such a big beast and it's so cumbersome, to make changes and adapt it takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of resources, and that means it takes a lot of dollars at the end of the day. In a state that we're in today, where businesses are shifting quickly, and like I said before, you know, adjusting their business models, want to try new things, want to test the market with, again, products or services, they need technology that's going to follow them, not that they have to work around and follow and slow them down and take 3 to 6 months to make happen. And mm-hmm. So what the cloud does for customers is it gives them that choice, freedom, and flexibility to go out, try something new without major risks, without heavy, heavy investments in infrastructure, without heavy, heavy investments in professional services, and without an overabundance of licenses that may or may not be used depending on the sex of these different trials or initiatives that they may have. And that in and of itself makes it very attractive, very exciting. And it also means it doesn't have to be one size fits all. You know, you don't have to switch one day from all on-prem to all cloud either. This can be a journey depending on what your needs are and what you want to do. Yeah. You can go by department, you can go by geography, you can go by line of business. There's lots of options. But at the end of the day, Scott, like, there's no magic here. It all comes down to what the customer needs to do and wants to do. What's their strategy? And like in any industry, we're going to have our conservatives, which, you know, kind of represent the late majority,
mm-hmm.
have our pragmatists that are kind of the early majority and checking out what's out there. They're interested, but not so sure. And then, of course, our visionaries who typically would be our early adopters.
Yeah.
Those are the folks that are jumping into cloud because they see it as a strategic business initiative. This is going to help them beat out the competition and be more successful. The pragmatists kind of know it, but they don't want to be first. They want to come in phase two after the visionaries have broken through the wall, learned some lessons. It'll still help them get ahead, but go on the next track. So I certainly think over the next couple of years, the migration to the cloud is going to be tremendous. Every customer that we talk to is thinking about it. It's not a question of if, it's a question more of when. And I'm making a generalized statement there. There's some industries or some businesses that from a compliance perspective, or there's certain, you know, functionality or aspects of the cloud, you know, that they're not comfortable with today and, mm-hmm. and maybe don't jive. That's okay. There's not one thing that's right or the other, but the vast majority, at least, you know, from the people that we've spoken to, have said that over the next 2 years, they have plans to move.
So we're coming up on the end of this podcast. Let me ask you this. In 60 seconds, what advice would you give to listeners to move into the second half of 2020?
When does my timer start?
Let's say now.
So I would say a couple of things. I say one, do your homework and figure out really what you want to do. What is the strategy? What will help you? What do you guys want to achieve from a customer experience perspective? What do you want to be delivering for your customers? And once that strategy is really clear, let's do our homework and figure out is, do we have the technology? Do we have the tools to support that business strategy? And I think a lot of customers, when they start trying to see if the technology and infrastructure they have meets their strategy, they're finding some significant gaps. And so there's lots of ways of figuring that out. Certain analysis, health checks, there's lots of things that we can do to go ahead and do that. The other thing is, don't be afraid to challenge the status quo. A lot of customers don't know what they don't know. They've been doing the same thing for a long time. I would encourage those folks to reach out and see what's out there. What are your options? What choices do you have to improve, you know, the way communications are flowing throughout your organization, the way you're interacting with your customers, the way you're interacting with your partners, the way you're communicating internally with all of your peers and internal stakeholders? There is so much advancements in things that you can do. And a lot of customers have a lot of this technology already. The functionality just hasn't even been turned on yet. whether they haven't had the time in the past, they're not aware, they think it's a lot more complicated than it is. So those elements, I think, really are the biggest, because, you know, customer after customer that we speak to, there's so many opportunities for them to differentiate themselves from their competition, reduce their costs, move a lot quicker. And UC really can be a core component of that strategy to help them get that done. I just don't think it's been presented in that way before, because it's always been that stuff that's been sitting in the telecom closet. That's like, yeah, it's just a phone. Well, if it was just a phone, then unified communication would be called telephony. Yes. But every video call I'm on today, which encompasses voice and video and the collaboration aspect where we can share, is far more than just a phone. And so leveraging that as a strategic asset to the business and incorporating that within what you're doing and your core applications can make all the difference between a great customer experience and a poor one. And you have a lot of choices, you have a lot of options, and a lot of opportunity out there. So again, I'll come back to probably more of a 120-second round, is get informed, find out what's going on. There's so much that you can do.
All right, there we go. Another podcast done. I hope everybody enjoyed listening today. Thanks for engaging with us at Stack8 and all of our crazy chats about UC and the future and what it holds. Until next time, Steve, thanks for your time. My name's Scott. I hope everybody had a good time listening to us rant. We will see you again soon.